And as we have been looking at Jeremiah, keep in mind, if you would, the if you go the wrong way and you stay the wrong way and you don't change going down the wrong way and you're passing the signs that say the bridge is unsafe, please don't cross it. And you keep going the wrong way, and you come to the bridge, and you keep going, and your journey ends down below in the valley, in the rubble. It's in the rubble you do, and you're down at the bottom of the ravine, as it were. You realize you're going the wrong way. And if you never have been paying attention, when you're at the bottom of the ravine, whatever you want to call it, you went the wrong way. You're lost. You went the wrong way, thought the wrong way, and you end the wrong way in the rubble. That ought to be a lesson. Now, having said that, Jerusalem, Judah are going the wrong way. They've been going the wrong way, these five kings and that. And here they are, and they're approaching the bridge, as it were. And Nebuchadnezzar is already set in cement. God is going to let it happen. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to level Jerusalem, the city and the temple, and the people. And they just keep going the wrong way. And they're going to go into the ravine, as it were, Babylonian captivity. And they'll find out they went the wrong way. Because looking back, there is no bridge. Looking up, there is no bridge. And looking back, there is no city. And there is no more temple. Now, you want to go and help them as they're going towards the bridge. Jerusalem, Judah, and in Jerusalem, as they're going to the edge, to the bridge, as it were, you want to try to encourage them, please stop and readjust what you're doing and turn around. But they aren't doing that. Now, in order to, I'm trying to lead up to where God's going to help them if they would receive it. So, over, if you would please, just to pick up Babylon, Judah's journey, Jeremiah in chapter 5, among other places. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, there's a word we're going to look at. Chapter 5, if I can, in verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. That's the word we're looking at. What is happening? They refuse to, the word turn, return, to turn around. They refuse to return, to turn around. They don't want to turn around. They're going where they're going, as we shared last time in that. They're going down that corridor. And, picking it up in chapter 8, and in chapter 8 and verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden backwards, by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, and they refuse to return. There's your word. They refuse to turn around. They're just going to go. So we keep reading. So here they are, here's the going down the highway, and the bridge isn't safe. But going, keep going. And they're going to keep going and going. Now, in our country, our world, our global system, national, global, is going down that highway. And where's the cry to say, turn around? There's not even a cry to turn around. There's the cry to speed up and go faster. We're headed there. We're going to get what we've been after, the world global system and all of those things, global warming and all of this, whatever you call it. Anyway, going down the corridor. And so here's our system. So here's Jerusalem. Here's our system. Now, God, how are you going to help them? Well, they just keep going, and they have no sense of returning. So, picking up, please, in the light of that, go over to Jeremiah again, back to 31. Now, God's going to give it, as we've shared, and illustrate, but we're going to look at it in a little more detail, so you'll see the relevancy. Oh, he's trying to help them. When you read God's word, he's going to give you wonderful, wonderful clarity. It may not seem clear, but it is. And you just have to stand back and let it and catch up with what it's saying so you see it. God helps you so you can make it down the corridor. Otherwise, the Bible is useless to us. The Bible is meant to equip you to think, to handle life. And here we are in a particular point in history. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And we shared all these things, but verse 18. In verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim. Remember, Ephraim is the northern 10 tribes. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning, groaning himself, and thus, that thou hast chastened me, chastened to discipline, etc. It's intensive. Thou hast disciplined me, and I was willing. We shared all that in the verb. The word thou hast chastened, and there's the same verb again. I was chastened. I was willing to be spanked. Remember, we shared that. I was willing to bend over and be spanked. I wasn't running away. I wasn't going to fight. What's Ephraim, the 10 tribes, going to do? They're finally going to bend over and get spanked. Now, as a bullock, as a young ox, unaccustomed to the yoke, in other words, they weren't trained, they weren't tamed, they weren't useful, they were just wild all over the place doing their own thing. Therefore, verse 18, unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou to me. Now, as I'm reading turn, it's the word we're looking at. Return, to turn around. We just read it. Jerusalem, the Jews, Judah, doesn't want to turn around. But God's going to use the illustration to turn around. Of Ephraim, the 10 tribes in the north. In verse 18. Turn thou unto me, and I shall be turned. I will end up being turned around. God, you got to help me. For thou art the Lord my God. Verse 19. Surely after that I was turned, there's your word, when I turned around and got turned around in the right direction, when I repented. I realized it was in the wrong direction. Repent, to change the mind, the heart, the conduct, the course, to change. Verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed, chastened, disciplined. I smote upon my thigh. I just realized how stupid I was. We all do that in some form or fashion at some time or other when we do some stupid thing and we have to reap it. But we do that. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, I was even confounded, because I did not bear the reproach of my youth. I didn't pay attention to the course I was on, the idolatry, the idols, the idolatry, the stupidity, my stubbornness. I kept going and going and going and doing and doing and doing. I kept doing it. I didn't stop. That was a stupid thing. And therefore, the end of verse 19, the reproach of my youth, my years, have I didn't learn what I should have learned. Now, having said that, here's Ephraim. He's using Ephraim, verse 18, 19. Ephraim's going to repent, change, turn around. Now, in order to capitalize on that, go with me, please, because now they would have, the scribes, Pharisees, they would have a copy of Hosea. So they could read what we're going to read. Same thing. We're just going to follow and see what they thought, what they could have understood. Now, over, please, in, as you might, over to 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings in chapter 12. And we won't spend any time on this, but just to put a tag it. Remember Solomon? King Solomon dies, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. He takes the two tribes, Jerusalem and Judah, Benjamin in the south. The other 10 tribes go north under Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam, as I just read, verse 26, 12, 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. In other words, the only place to worship is in Jerusalem. That's what God honors, sacrifice. That's where you'd have to go. And since we're divided, and I don't want to have the people end up going back, and then I won't be a king. I won't be a king over 10 tribes. So therefore, he built Bethel and Dan and that. He went and put worship center up in the north part of it, and down in the south part, Dan in the south part. And he put a worship center in the south part. He made all kinds of, at your leisure. He made priest of nobodies. He made everybody have some job, something they weren't fit for, they weren't qualified. He made special days, everyone they had to have. So he duplicated as much as he could everything you do in Jerusalem in the wrong way. So now, here's the 10 tribes. They're going to be there for 209 years in the wrong way, in the wrong way, doing the wrong things. So, and then the Assyrians are going to come along and take them. They're going the wrong way. They go off the bridge, whoops, down the bottom. They hit the bottom. And Jerusalem, I'm going to be in Jerusalem now, looking back 136 years from Jerusalem, looking back at 722, looking back, what do I see? Where's the 10 tribes? They're all scattered. Assyria took them, etc. Scattered them. That's what I see. I'm able to see it in Jerusalem. I'm able to think about it and understand it. Now, what am I going to do with it? And they could read Hosea. So let's see what you would see in Hosea. Over, if you would, please. Hosea. And in Hosea chapter 4, remember Hosea and Isaiah and Micah are all looking at the 10 tribes in the north. Three of them, Isaiah and Hosea and Micah, they're all looking like down the... So they're all three prophets, same place. Now, having said that, so here's Hosea. And Hosea, what are we going to find? Well, we're going to find a little bit to introduce us to Hosea, chapter 4 and in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because, what's the reason? There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They don't know anything. 209 years. I don't know anything. But we've been in church all our life. We don't know anything. I don't know anything. Over. Now, chapter 4, picking up in verse 6. My people are destroyed. Why? How? Because for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. It isn't that you didn't know. You didn't want to know. You kept reading the signs. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. And you kept going anyway. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And so one generation after, all the way, 209 years, going to go down the tubes. Now, so in the light of that, keeping that in mind, so here's all these years going by, and now. So in Hosea, picking up in Hosea, here's our little word to turn, our little word we're looking at in Jeremiah 31, 18, 19, etc. To turn, to turn around, restore, all kinds of ways, turn around, restore, to return, etc., be restored, etc. Now, so here's a little word in Hosea. Now, picking up, please, if I can, Hosea chapter 3. And in Hosea chapter 3, picking up, and I'm just going to take the same word. Remember what we read. Now, why is God using those terms in Jeremiah 18, 31, 18 and 19? Turn. Because he's telling you about Ephraim. Ephraim didn't turn. They didn't turn. That's what they should have done. They didn't turn. So I'm going to check Hosea, which they could do. They didn't turn. Hosea, they didn't know God. They didn't care about knowing God. Hosea chapter 3 again, in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without teraphim. They're going to go in Assyrian captivity, and all of their idolatry and all of their system is gone. It's all gone. Now, picking up, please, in verse 5. Afterward, shall the children of Israel return. There's your word. I'm going to take it all away from them, and one day they're going to want it. At the bottom of the ravine, remember you're looking up at the bridge is gone? I said, what a dumb thing I did. Well, now you look up, and they're going to wake up. That's the future. And Israel is to be concerned in Jerusalem because they're going to do the same thing. And our world is going the same way, all the way into the tribulation. And they'll wake up when the Lord comes. Wrong time to wake up. But they're going to wake up now. So therefore, Hosea. Now, a little word we're looking at, return, turn, is used 21 times in Hosea. 21 times, this verb, in these little chapters. 21 times. So let's see it a little bit. Follow it. You get the mood. So that the Israelites in Jerusalem should have this. We're going to get it looking at it. We're going to see it. Pay attention to the signs. Now, so picking up chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 11. Ephraim, remember what you're looking at, Ephraim, 10 tribes, also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they call to Syria. When they shall go, I will spread out my net upon them. I will bring down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chasten, there's a little word you have in 31:18. I will chasten them as their congregation hath heard. In other words, I'm going to let all the stuff turn around in the opposite direction, and you're going to be hunted, etc., etc. Verse 13, sliding down for time even, sliding down to verse 15. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. I strengthened them, gave them wonderful privilege, and tried to help them for 209 years. It didn't do any good. I had Hosea, I had Isaiah, I had Micah. I had them yelling at them, telling them, but they didn't want to listen to them. So I tried to do it. Verse 16, they returned, there's your word. They returned, but not to the Most High. They went from Egypt to different, trying to find a way out. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue, the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt, that's Assyria, as you keep going, reading it all. It's going to repeat it many times in the book. So sliding over, chapter 11. And in chapter 11, verse 4. I drew them with the cords of a man with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke. I wanted them. I didn't want to have them just, I wanted to give them freedom to grow, to take off the yoke. They needed the yoke. I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws. And I laid meat unto them, food. Verse 5. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return. They refuse to return. They don't want to return. So they aren't going to go under the Egyptians. The Assyrians are going to take over. They're going to run everything. Down in verse 8. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adnah? How shall I set thee in Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God said, without losing it too much, think of Ezekiel 18. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want them to live. I died for them. I don't want the wicked to die. God said, I don't want to lose Israel. I'm not trying to get rid of it. I'm going to save it. That's his plea. Hang on. That's wonderful. Hang on. God has that. That's what you're counting on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and sliding over you're going to ask yourself maybe, Admah in verse 8 and Zeboim. Those are two cities. Think of the Dead Sea. And here down the bottom, here they are, down the bottom. And Sodom is judged. And that wonderful, fertile, green, plush area becomes barren. And brimstone and ashes fall and make it a barren place. No more. Wow. That's what God said in verse 8. How shall I make thee as Admah, and how shall I make thee as Zeboim? I don't want to make you like Sodom. I don't want to do that. I get rid of Sodom. I don't want to do that. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and 11:9 is 11:9. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not do so. I will not return, there's your little word, to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. In other words, I'm going to go and be gracious and merciful in all of this. Now, having said that, chapter 12, sliding over to verse 6. Therefore, turn, there's your little word, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on God continually. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Each sign you go by, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Turn around, but they didn't turn around. They didn't do it. So, chapter 14. Then in chapter 14, listen to Ephraim. Ephraim, when Hosea, he told them the same message that Isaiah, Jeremiah is saying by way of God to Jerusalem. Turn around. Pay attention. There's a wonderful way it's going to come out good if you would just look to God. Chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You did it all by your lonesome. Take with you words and turn, each return, words you return, turn three or four times here. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away thy iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. In other words, we're going to turn. What did he say? God said it in Jeremiah 31, 18, 19. We're going to repent. We're going to get spanked. We're going to pay a price, and we're going to repent. That's what we're going to do. Chapter 14, verse 3. Assur or Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses to try to fight or run away. Neither will we say any more into the work of our hands, idols, idolatry. You are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Verse 4. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. Him. And God, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon, many, 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 many lilies and very, very, very deep roots, etc., his branches, etc. Sliding over to verse 8. Ephraim shall say, now, remember, they're going to change. And Jerusalem needs to know that there's hope when you're at the bottom of the ravine. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. So what are you going to find? You're going to find that God. Now, what do we know? What do we know from Jeremiah 31 without going back there? Verse 12, 13, 14. What do we know? That God said, do you understand? I'm going to make your hearts so you're going to come to God. You're going to run like a river into God, like a stream flowing fastly into God's goodness. God being his full abundance, his bounty, his grace, his mercy. You're going to flow to God. Flow to God. And it's going to be like, you're going to end up being like a watered, well-watered, satiated, soaked like a sponge you can't hold anymore, satisfied with what? God said, I'm going to satisfy you, satiate you, water you, like a tree, like nothing you could ever imagine. Now, that's what he's saying here. Chapter 14, verse 8. God, what are you going to find when you get there? God said, I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Where are you going to get this fruit? Where are you going to get this water? Where are you going to get these plants? Where are you going to get this abundance? From God. I will be satisfied, verse 14, 31, I'll be satisfied with the goodness of God. Oh, God, well, that's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that it's a wonderful future. And God's quoting Hosea for them. And we're ready. We just reminded ourselves about Hosea. It's an awesome thing. We should have learned something from the 10 tribes. Why didn't we learn anything? Why didn't we learn anything from anybody, seems? Why do we have to keep repeating history? So therefore, who is wise, verse 9, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just, And the just shall walk in them, the righteous, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So, having said that, now, so here we are, we read all that, turn. So where does turn come in for us guys? Over, if you would please, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. May pick up, please, Acts 26, in Paul's commission to the Gentiles, verse 18. I'll read verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, for whom now I send thee, his commission, to open, Paul's assignment, to open their eyes, to turn, there's your little word, turn around, like in the Hebrew, to turn around their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So God, that's a wonderful assignment Paul had in a most wonderful way. Verse 20, but showed King Agrippa, I'll read verse 19, I guess. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Verse 20. But showed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn, there's your word, to turn to God and do works meet for repentance. What did Ephraim do? They turned around and repented. I turned around and repented. Different direction. I turned around. Wow, I got to turn around. I don't turn around. I don't. So therefore, keeping that in mind, and go over to chapter 11 backwards just for a minute, just to see it again, at least a little. Chapter 11, verse 21, little verb. And verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned. What did they do? They turned unto the Lord. That's what they did. They turned. What did Ephraim need to do? Turn around. What does Jerusalem need to do? Turn around and repent. Turn around and go in the right direction, in the right way. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, picking up, please, in chapter 3. And you will note, picking up, mate, remember, comparing the law and grace, and in the process, verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, the covetous face, the kind of the law and the glory of the veil, the glory and the veil. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So the Jews today read the Old Testament. They can read and quote it in the synagogue and everything. Well, they don't believe. They don't understand. Hosea 4:1, they don't know God. They don't know God. And you know how hard it is to be with people, God help us, that don't know God and they don't care about God. They don't even have a thought about God. In all that's happening, not a thought. That's hard. Boy. Anyway, now, so, if I can, but their minds were blinded. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They're still blinded by unbelief. They rejected Christ, rejected the... Remember, and you understand that. Chapter 4. in verse 3, 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, the good news, it is hid from them that are lost, all right, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded, there's the same thing as in verse chapter 3, verse 14, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe. And if he can keep anybody, keep a from not believing, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So don't, you can read the Bible and memorize the Bible and quote the Bible. Just don't believe it. Just don't believe it. When you say believe, that doesn't mean he didn't know it. I'm not talking about knowing it. I'm talking about believing it. You're resting. You're resting in its truths. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the veil's still there, and they don't see. They haven't learned a lesson. And there's no message coming from the Jews today about God, of this, all these wonderful truths. Isn't coming out of Jerusalem. Isn't coming out of it. Where's it coming out of? Not very much. Who's even thinking about it, these things? And therefore we go, since it's still the veil still there, verse 16. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, there's the word turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when you turn around and believe, you'll see. See, there's no, if I just understood the Bible, you have to believe. Believe. You can't see till you believe. Believe, then you'll see. Believe, then you can understand. In your intellect, you could do your intellect and wind it up 10,000 times. Your intellect won't do it. It's a spiritual truth. You got to have FM. AM will never do it. You can read it, memorize it, take it apart. Take it all apart. Whatever you want to do, you won't know it. You won't know it. The little kid that believes the Lord Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is way ahead of the big professor. The little kid's safe. The little kid just believes. You have to tell him he believes God. God's able to died on the cross. That's what he believed. Yeah. Now, having said that, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. But we all with open face, no more veil, no more nothing to blind us. So we're looking to God. Now we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from unto the same image, from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we keep changing. We're believing. The more we believe, the more we change. I'm not interested in going the wrong direction. I'm not interested in the wrong thinking. And neither are you. I'm not interested in it. I want to go right. I want to come out right. After all, that's what it's about. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. And you remember they're wonderfully, wonderfully saved. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1:5. For the gospel, our gospel came not unto you, which we just read, which we're to believe, the gospel, the good news. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So they came. They didn't. There was no wishy-washiness. There was no maybe it's true. You might want to pick one of them and believe something. Maybe it's true and we tell them a little. No, it's real. You got to believe it. That's what you got to do. Therefore, verse 9, it changed their life. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had, how much it affected them, and how ye turned, there's your little verb, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned around. That's right. That's right. You got saved and turn around. You're going, it says, wrong way, wrong. I heard it. I'm going to turn around. Turn around. Go the right direction. Wow. And we'll wait, verse 10, wait for his son out of heaven. Now, God having said that and keeping that, so God, all of that's awesome. Now, God, that's what we're doing. That's what we did. We turned around. And we're going, we will go in the right direction. And we're changed. We don't want to turn around again, turn around and get saved and then go right and then you turn around and go the wrong direction. Oh, no, that doesn't come out good. That doesn't come out good. You lose the little bit that motivates you. The wonderful just being alive. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 15. Now remember what we read as we came to the end of Hosea. And Hosea, God said, I'm going to be a tree, and from me comes all the fruit. All the fruit, the wonderful plushness of all that you need, goodness. Now, so in chapter 15, here we are. I'm not back in Hosea. I don't live in his day. I got the message. And Jeremiah, I got the message a little bit. I got it. So therefore, God, and thank you. Now they have to wait. They heard, they read, and they had to wait. They would die. And even saved. Jeremiah would die, for instance. Hosea will die, and they'll never see it. They have to wait to the resurrection. That isn't true for us. So when we read, satiated, satisfied, well-watered, plush, fullness, chapter 15. Remember the end of verse, chapter Hosea. You'll be as a full of fruit. Abide in me. You watch it now. I know you know this. I know this. Before you say, I know everything, let's read it again. Let's see. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now, I was going to bring, I needed a branch full of leaves and everything. But the trouble is, I needed the tree. So you'd see the branches attached to the tree. And I had a problem trying to find a tree I could bring in that you could see the branch. See? You have to imagine the branch. So I didn't bother bringing a branch in because there's no tree. So we're supposed to be like the branch in the tree. Attached, okay. And verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's what we just read, right? Hosea. The difference is, we have a relationship to God now. Not next week. Not tomorrow morning. Now. Therefore, except you abide in me, it might be a much fruit. For without me, the end of verse 5, you can do nothing. You have to stay attached. And we've shared it 7,000 times. The branch does nothing about bugs, about the weather, about the storms, about anything. It doesn't even think about fruit. It doesn't even think about leaves. It just stays attached. And leaves keep coming. They fall off and they repeat themselves. New leaves, fruit, it just stays attached. It's such a simple thing. Attached. And verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So God, you want us to have fruit. I do. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to God to enjoy what? Fruit. Fruitfulness. A wonderful just being fruitful. That's all. Wow. Now, an illustration for good or bad. You all probably sleep in some kind of bed. Wooden bed, a cushion bed, or whatever bed you sleep on. Now, if you just don't do it, don't go to sleep now, but too late. And you lay down in your bed. You're going to lay down in your bed sometime in the next few hours. You're going to lay down in your bed. When you lay down in your bed, as you lay down in your bed, you're going to put all your weight in your bed. Now, and there's a lot of things to worry about, to care about, to think about. And depending on a given day and a given night, some things really get you, and you have to work on them. And other things, you're just tired and you go to sleep. But here's the bed. Now, when you get on the bed, the bed's there to hold you. Just imagine getting in your bed. You've gotten in your bed several times, haven't you? You're familiar with your own bed. When you get in your bed, does your bed say anything? What's it say? Nothing. Just welcome, welcome. And you lay down, the bed's the bed. And the bed's the bed, the first hour, the 10th hour, the 12th hour. The bed's the bed. It doesn't change. The bed doesn't change at all. Now, you can lay there, and the bed's going to be the bed. True? Now, if the bed being the bed, and you're worried about a whole lot of things, is the bed going to stop because you're worried? Is the bed going to stop because you're all upset? Isn't the bed going to be the bed? Does the bed change? Oh, no. No. You are on the bed, and you've lost, the bed's holding you. And you've forgotten the bed's holding you because you're so wound up about so many things. But the bed's still there holding you in a most, most wonderful way. It's saving you, supporting you from falling on the floor. It's holding you, cushioning you. Wow, that's what you do. Now, God, what are you saying? I want you to abide. I want you to abide. Now, all kinds of things. A big vulture could come and sit on you. Someone could come by and clip all your leaves. Whatever could happen. But you just abide. The branch just abides. You just stay in the bed doesn't change. The bed's absolutely what it is. And you need to remember the bed isn't changing. And you're resting on it. And you want to rest on it. And all the things in your head and mind you think about and worry about and wonder about and you can't sleep. But the bed's the bed. The bed doesn't change. And you need to understand that. That sounds silly, doesn't it? Until you understand what abiding is. You're abiding, resting in Christ. And that doesn't change. God isn't worried, disappointed, frustrated about anything. And all the stupid things we do, and I do stupid things, and you do stupid, not you, but some people do things. But the bed's the same. God is the same, like my bed. And he doesn't change. And I need to, I can turn around and look at the bed and say to the bed, "Bed, I'm worried." And the bed said, "Go to sleep." See? So it doesn't do much good. The bed doesn't care. So tell God you're worried, okay? Tell God it's not working out. And God said, "Oh, I didn't know. Wow, I'm glad you informed me," you see. The bed doesn't change. God doesn't change. And you're resting. That's what I'm trying to get you to go from the bed. Abide. Like more than the pew. The pew isn't even as good as the bed. And you're resting down. And I need to know God isn't worried one bit or frustrated with all the things that I'm thinking about, worried about, wondering about. God isn't. And I need to lock that in. And the more that I think about it, the less then I'll go to sleep better. And I'll stop. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being the source of my rest. I'm relying upon you, God. And you aren't going away and you aren't worried about a thing and you aren't frustrated. I am, but you are not. So God, I'm going to rest down. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to abide. That's what I'm going to do. You understand that a little? I'm going to abide. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to capitalize on it. Because without you, I can do nothing. So God, I'm trying to do it, but, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere. But God, I don't want to forget you. I want to stay abiding in the right direction, in the right way, for the right reasons, so that I abide. And by you is much fruit. Wow.